You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices and best practices all over from the best practices. And have you ever thought to yourself as a dentist, like, how the heck do I stay on task? Dentistry is a very mechanical, it's a great profession, but there's a lot of steps. There's a lot of, you know, boxes that have to get checked. And how do I do that predictably? Because if I don't, I go crazy. And so today I got a good friend of mine, Dr. Marty Williams, who's an awesome dentist, and we share a lot of stories and a great friendship. And he has, one day I was doing a course, he texted me one of his systems, and I'm like, dude, this is awesome. We got to do a show on that. He's like, okay, let's do it. So you're going to love that. Now, one thing before we get started, I just always like to say welcome to, you know, we got a lot of young dental students and even pre-dental students listening. And some of you might be thinking, what the heck is this podcast thing? Well, just welcome. Our goal here, I have one goal. It's just this. I want to interview my friends in this great industry. Number one, you should probably know this. You're walking into the greatest profession ever. Number two, there's so many cool people. It's a very noble industry. And I got a lot of cool friends that have learned a lot of cool things. And so when you show up at this podcast or listen to this podcast, it's about helping you create a little bit better practice and a little bit better life. Because every time your practice gets a little bit better, your life gets a little bit better too. And that's what it's all about. So keep showing up, and I'm glad you're here. So I want to introduce my guest, Marty. What's up, brother?
Hey, Kirk. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am great. I'm so pumped to have you on here because, we could tell a bunch of fun stories, you know, together. You're just a special guy. You also live in a special place, you know, Green Bay, which is, you know, very cool. So, and but I always want people to know who you are on, you know, just tell us a little bit about who is Marty Williams? Like, what do you do? Where do you practice?
I was born and raised in Green Bay, and my dad was a dentist. And I graduated back in 1985. And unfortunately, I only got to practice with my dad for a couple of years before he and my two brothers passed away in a tragic plane accident. He was a private pilot, and he was flying out west. And the plane crashed on landing. Unfortunately, all three of them perished. And I continued on and named my practice after him and the call sign of his plane, which is called Sierra. So my practice is called Sierra Dental. And I've been practicing ever since, and it's more my passion. It's my hobby. It's not a job. I'm fortunate to be able to come to I don't want to say come to work every day, but come to the office every day. And I met you, Kirk, some years ago as part of our involvement in the Seattle Study Club, and we met at their annual symposium, and that's happens every year, and it's actually happening this week right now. And I always love listening to you. You're so energetic, enthusiasm, full of great ideas. And I love your impersonation of, I'm trying to blank on his name.
Oh, Jay, you're going to say Jack Nicholson, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, I've just I love doing what I'm doing, and I want to keep doing it as long as I can. And if I can, anything I can do to help inspire anybody to want to be a dentist or, you know, do something different in a different way, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That is so awesome. Your passion is just, it's fantastic. And so I just appreciate so much about you. And I see that whenever we're together. And I want to talk about let's talk about the why of this, because we're going to talk about, you know, you sent me that text and I'm like, Marty, this is so great. But let's talk about the why first. Like when we're staying on task, you have been a great dentist for a long time. Like, how important is it for you as a dentist to stay on task?
That's extremely important, because there are certain things that we do and want to have done in with each procedure and with each system that we have, or the patient that we see. I want to follow a certain steps,
right,
so that I assess, diagnose, and treatment plan all the different areas of their mouths and make sure that I get all the documentation in at the end of the week. Because the way my system works is we see our new patients and I practice kind of the Pinky Dawson philosophy, where we get them in, I do a separate new patient exam, spend at least a good hour with them.
Yeah.
And then all the data that we gather at the end of the week, my team will give me a purple folder that will have all the information in there, and it'll have a copy of the checklist in there. So I sit down and I'll go through that step by step. I'll start by looking at all the notes that were taken that day. I'll look at the, I have it right here, and it's listed down here, the sequence of steps, and looking at the x-rays, looking at their periodontal information, looking at the information about the tooth, the aesthetics, the smile, function. And then I take a set of clinical photographs for each new patient. So I want to make sure I edit those and read those and put them into their we use a Dentrix system.
Yep.
So we take all their information, I put it right into their Dentrix chart. And then, you know, sometimes when I'm going through this, there are distractions. I'll get I come in on a Friday and typically go through all my new patients from the week. And sometimes there's emails I'll get distracted and look at, or my phone will go off and I'll look at that. Or UPS comes and rings the doorbell and I come and let them in. Or I have my therapy dog here. He wants to go out and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or I just want to take a power nap and then I come back and I've got everything here. When I get done with all those distractions and I think I have all my I's dotted and T's crossed, I go through the checklist at the very end and I just literally check everything off to make sure that I did all check all the areas of that case that I wanted to, and made a nice diagnosis and a thorough treatment plan for each patient.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the origin of this too. You and I mentioned a book, and you know, we all share this common book that's a very big influencer. It's a great read. And just, can you talk about that real quick?
And I believe I learned about it at one of the Seattle Study Club symposiums, and you have talked about it, and there are other people that have talked about this book. It's called The Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. And I remember one of the big stories I shared in there is something I believe was in a hospital setting where they accidentally left something inside of a person. Mm-hmm. So from that day forward, they started using checklists to make sure they got every sponge and everything, every part accounted for before they closed that patient up. And that story really sticks out to me. And that I love the book. I still have it. And it's a great reference.
Absolutely. And then, as you know, because one of the things that you need is high levels of predictability as a dentist. You know, with low levels of predictability, you can lose your mind. And I would also say that people that are, you know, the more that you care about your dentistry and the more specific you are, that's actually a dangerous territory, because the word shade, shape, translucency, margin, those start to mean different things to you. And so, like, when it's not up to par, you can put yourself into a big challenging position, and your brain does not have the ability to remember every single step. Your ego gets in the way and says, I can do this. But the truth of it is your brain doesn't. So tell us more about that. Like, you probably get great satisfaction from checking each one of those boxes, don't you?
Oh, I definitely do. And then there's the you think that I'd have it down and I wouldn't need the checklist.
Right.
I think every time I would just be able to just by memory have that checklist right in my head. But I'm amazed at the times I go through and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't do that part. I go back and open the chart back up and I go back and redo that step and check it off the checklist. And I know that I've got it done then.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing gets left undone.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to all personalities in the DISC profile. Like I'm in high I. Now I value checklists because things get done because I leave messes everywhere. I think the C personality loves it because the details are being done. The D person loves it because we're getting through it. You know, the S person loves it because we're, you know, everybody's happy and there's less conflict. So it's one of those great things that it just allows for some thoroughness and probably peace of mind for you. You know, you have a lot of interests. You're a professional ballroom dancer, which you're going to be doing after this. You probably like going into your weekends going, hey, it's done. I've closed these files, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my one of the speakers we had, Mike Scott. Those are the strategic things that I do. I need to get those things done. There's so many other piles of things and emails that can be done, but I want to make sure I get the important stuff done. And then the rest of it, it'll be there when I get back on Monday.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other thing, too, that's really important because it's easy to talk about all the benefits of just checking a box, but you're actually freeing up time. Every time you create a system or a checklist, you're freeing up thousands and thousands of hours and mistakes that potentially happen in the future. And Marty, you get to tweak this checklist. So you can create it once. It doesn't even have to be perfect. Sometimes you just got to get started. And then do you and your team revisit? Like, is there anything we need to change in the checklist over time?
This one has been pretty standard and set for a number of years. But there are, like I say, all of our systems and things we do in our team meetings, we do try and periodically bring those back and review them and see if there's any changes we want to make. And as we learn new information, we definitely do make changes to those systems.
Yeah. Now, I do have to ask you about a couple of the items on here. So, you know, you've got all the important steps in there. And then you got comp exam notes entered, chief concern, and then vision and then fish notes. And I want to just talk about the importance of the sequence of those. I'm just curious. I want to know how your brain works with that.
Oh, that's a... For me, that's one of the most important things I do when we interview. We bring our new patients in, we bring them into our consultation room and do our interview. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll actually forget to get their, you know, I want to find out what their chief concern is and what their vision is. Why the heck are they here? What do they want me to help them do with their, right, their mouth? So those are two main things that are really important to get into the computer system so that when they come back in for their, you know, recare visits, I can definitely go back to those and see what their vision was and say, well, and help to implement treatment and I guess lack of a better word, help them accept treatment and say, well, remember we talked about you wanted to keep things clean and healthy.
Yeah.
Now you have this periodontal disease going on. Let's start here and get that under control and then move on to the next step to get you healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it kind of what you're going at?
That's totally what I get. Cause I like to know what's going on. I have this disease and I need to know how you think. Like, tell me about the fish notes. What are unique about your fish notes in your
fish notes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let me grab fishy.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's fishy.
Okay. That's fishy. What is the fish notes? And you guys, if you're listening, I'm going to post this checklist cause Marty's been so gracious. So you get to see it in the show notes.
The fish notes, yeah, that was something that started way back. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name, Deb.
Deb Castillo. Deb. Yeah.
Thank you. When she was working with her, that we got to it's the personal notes about the patient. What is something important that they do? You know, you've talked about that even. I think it's on my to-do list to go over that. You know, what is something that helps us get a better relationship with that patient? Because yeah. I'm in a relationship business. I have a relationship type of practice. I want to know, you know, if my patients, you know, if they just got married since the last time, they took a trip to Puerto Rico, or what is really important to them. So we get the initial set of fish notes where they're basically, you know, they're I just say, tell me a little about yourself. And that's right. Pretty easy. Patients will start going on about, ask them where they were born and raised, what they do, where they went to school, all the basic stuff, and then try and get a few other kind of things if they like to go ice fishing or, skiing or things like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So they're basically, you're putting in a system to enhance the relationships with your patients by learning about them. Now, you also have something listed in here, and you guys will see this. It's called diagnostic opinion. I'm just so curious about those two words. Why do you call it diagnostic opinion?
That goes back to Dr. John Quace.
Okay.
His sheet where you go through the aesthetics, the function, biology, and the teeth, sex function, biology, and so perio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And go through the four different areas. And what we think as far as a diagnostic opinion, what are the areas of concern? What is the diagnosis? What is the prognosis? And then what is the risk?
Right.
If they have periodontal disease, if they have a lot of frications and a lot of pocketing, then, probably a moderate periodontal disease. Diagnosis, who's going to be high in certain areas and better in other areas. And the prognosis, if it's going to be anything that has to be taken out because it's going to be an ailing, failing tooth, or is it generally is going to be a good, good prognosis.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. And you got your clinical notes. You also do perio notes on there. Anything special that you would say, a different way you look at that from your lens,
After doing it, after being a dentist for this many years, this is where it kind of helps me. So I do actually start to put something in there because sometimes I get to know my patients so well and I just kind of can go with the flow a little bit.
Right.
But to try and write it down, if they have a lot of plaque, a lot of bleeding, mobility, frications, and wear on the teeth, abrasions, things like that are things that are super important to make sure we get documented down in the initial findings.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then I see here, you want to make sure, now this is an important piece. You've got hygiene appointment and checked. And so now this is really important because one of the missed opportunities in dentistry, and most everybody will tell you this, is the number of patients that come into a practice. They start with the doctor, but they're not tethered to the practice or the hygiene appointment. So what you do is you present comprehensive dentistry on a patient you just met, and then you stalk them for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And they're like, wow, that's a lot of money. And you lose a great patient because they're not tethered to the practice and hygiene. Now, I'm telling myself a story about why you have that check box, but why do you have the box? Because most dentists would go, I don't need that on there. Why would I want to make sure they have a hygiene appointment? Is that why that's there or do I have that wrong?
No, that's exactly correct. Because a lot of times we will try and set up their hygiene appointment right after the appointment with me because patients they're coming in to get their teeth cleaned.
Right.
And so we try and set that up. Sometimes it doesn't work because if I find there's a more perio than the patient realized that they had, which is a tough conversation to have if they never realized they had perio. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we don't do that. We don't start the scaling and root planning at that appointment. But so sometimes that appointment is not used, but most of the time it is. We can get started on things. But then if they don't have that hygiene appointment set up right after they see me for the new patient exam, then we have a way to make sure that we say we do not lose them in the system. And we say, hey, do they have that? They have their hygiene appointment set up. And if they don't, let's get a hold of them and try and get it set up.
Yeah. So if you're listening as a dentist, you're seeing Marty's created a system where we're covering everything. You know what I mean? You're covering the things that you want to cover. And it also reduces the workload on your team members too. Some dentists think, oh, I don't need to do this. No, you're freeing up their brain space and their time, and it's really not that hard for you to do if it's an item that you have to check. Now, I want to keep going because I'm so curious about this. You have consult on there and then organized treatment plan. Give us a sense between when you meet the patient and you have them back for a consult. Everybody's got a different time frame. What's your ideal time frame?
It depends what kind of consult it is. If it's for maybe a crown or two, actually, my assistant is so good, and I leave the room. She kind of does that right after I leave the room before they go to their hygiene visit or leave for the day. So sometimes that's where the consult happens.
Right.
And sometimes it's a more involved treatment plan we'll get them back. We try to get them back, and hopefully within a matter of a couple of weeks at the most, so that they don't become disinterested, and to share what their treatment plan is for them. Sometimes at consult, we actually get them back to get more diagnostic information before we even set them up for a consult, depending on how complex the treatment plan and their case might be.
Yeah. So the other items that you have on here, these won't necessarily be checked until we actually have the consult, right? So those are going to get checked further down the line. So you organize a treatment plan, and then if there's a payment plan discussed, that'll get checked. And then any findings that you have from the consult, those are notes that are entered in there, and then treatment gets scheduled. Anything you would say that's like unique to your thinking on those items? There's things that matter to you when it comes to those items on your checklist.
I think just to make sure if they don't have an appointment and the treatment's not scheduled, going down to the next line, if they haven't scheduled that appointment, is there a particular reason for that? And then have we set up a time where we can follow up with them?
Yeah, that's really, now again, I want you guys to take a look at this checklist. This is brilliant because a lot of people just present treatment and they go, okay, what happened? I don't know. You know, did she say, I don't, maybe she did. And then these patients are left to just float in the universe, or you pass this off to a team member to follow up. But you're basically, directing your team to say, hey, listen, we're going to check one of these boxes. You know, if they scheduled, great. If they didn't schedule, at least we've got, some type of a follow-up action or follow-up note. We've got a reason on the treatment line, and then and at least everybody knows what's happening with the next patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, cool. Now, listen, again, it goes back to you being a relationship guy, which I love. This is so cool. It's like, so a lot of people want to send thank you notes, or that'd be a good idea. It's a system for you. You send a thank you note to your patient, and then do you send it? It looks like you send a second thank you note to the referral, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me a second. Sorry. We actually have one on the table behind me. We have a system where the business assistants up front, when we have a new patient, we have a note that they write to them, and they'll say, thank you for becoming patient. If you know anybody that would like to be in our practice, we have a $25 gift card to Target for referring somebody to our practice.
Yeah.
And they take that note, and that gets set back in our lunchroom, and they put out, I think, 6 pens, one for each of us.
I love it.
We take the pen, we sign it, and we put that in back in the pen holder. So they know when they can send that out in the mail to that patient that everybody has, because we have all of our entire team signs that thank you note to the patient. And then if somebody has referred them, we send, I write a personal thank you to them, thanking them for referring so-and-so to our practice. And then that gets mailed out with the thank you card.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And the thing to remember, this is a very relational business. And people are like trying to get flashy or fancy with how to get new patients. Guys, remember, it's always going to be trust, and it's always going to be relational. When you take the time, your entire team takes the time to write a card. Now, again, I just want to like reemphasize this is like it's a system. It's not you passing around a note card each time saying, hey, let's do this every time. They know, the team members know what to expect. They probably get a little bit of joy from it, and it makes them feel like, hey, we're doing something pretty special here. And then you've got one more thing. It says countries on there. What is countries?
You mentioned the DISC system and personality profiles. I've done a lot of those, and those are very comprehensive and complex. But I've been getting into a different system that one of my people I used for marketing around the area here uses. I believe he based it off of the flag page. Have you heard of the flag page? But he based it off of that, and he calls it, it's calls it the Dignify system.
Okay.
It's a way to dignify and respect and communicate with people around you, whether it be your family, your team members. And I use it for, I actually using it right now. I use it for hiring and letting go of team members. And it's actually print out a little, it's on a card. it's a way to kind of, if you want to talk to somebody, again, to dignify and respect them. And if you're having a concern with somebody, it's a way to talk to them, say, no, it's about what you said in your card. It's not a personal attack on you. It's more about this card. So what I asked this gentleman to do is say, is there some way I can do and come up with something to work with my patients and just get in a few moments, a few questions, find out what kind of a person they are. Are they more that control person? Are they more a relational person? Because for me, the people that I would always, discourage from my practice really quickly were the control people, the driver people. Right. Because I'd come in, I'd go into that consult room and start interviewing them and ask them all these questions and give me data. They're like, Marty, I don't want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. I just want to come here and get my teeth clean.
Right.
So that's where it really, really helps me. If it's somebody that's a control kind of person, or we call control country, I'm like, I get in there and I just get right down and say, you know, what's your chief concern? What's your vision? Okay, let's, you know, then it's amazing how sometimes they actually start talking more. So we're taking all this down to one sheet. Again, it's another system that we have the sheet, and we ask them, are they, you know, just a list of words, like precise, perfect, those things, and several other ones, and in different words to identify, are they more the control person or a steady influencing kind of person that we have them fill out. And that you say, it really helps me, especially with the control driver kind of people.
Yeah, I love that. And I remember Mark Gungor had a system like this, you know, but whatever system you use, whether it be Myers-Briggs, DISC, whatever, you're basically trying to understand the human being that you're serving a little bit more, because we've all been in a situation where, you know, I'm a relational guy. I just want to like the person. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need all the details. I want to do business with people I like and I trust, and that matters to me. But you're right. As a dentist, you're going to serve people that are like, just, they trust you, but they're like, listen, I got a lot to do here. You're my guy. Let's just do this. I don't need all the details. Let's just go, you know? And you got to understand that that's how they move, right? That's how they best think and communicate. So. Yeah.
And it comes in handy when you're talking dentistry to them. Because if you're talking about having them, they need a crown. Well, if you have that analytic person and like me, I can give them all the details and reasons why. But if you do that to the driver, they're gonna be gone. You right. Just tell the guy, the driver person, say, hey, you need this crown. It's busted. You need the crown. Boom. That's all you need to say. And other people that are more the amiable influencers say, you know what? If this was my mom, I do this crown on her. I'm like, right. Okay. You know, I mean, just talking in terms that they understand, and to try and help understand and respect each other, respect them, and they respect you, and it helps them to. You know, you're talking in terms that they understand, and they'll more readily accept the kind of treatment that you're presenting to them.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, so I just want to your team gives you the purple folder. Your job is to take it to the next point and check all the boxes that you can check. And then you give it to them, like, so you go into the weekend with the purple folder. All you think is, I got to get to this point, check all these boxes. And then the purple folder becomes the kind of the fulcrum for how we take care of the patients all the way through and do it the way we best do it. Any last thoughts on the system? Wait, Marty, here, I got a question for you. What happens when we don't, like, we pass, I've done all this. I'm going to play devil's advocate. We've done all this, but like, they still won't check the box. Can you speak to that one? Like, or we don't check the box, or better yet, the dentist doesn't check the boxes on each one of these. What would you say to that?
Oh boy. That's interesting. If I don't check the box, sometimes they'll come back and ask me if I've done that. But other times, I think sometimes, unfortunately, it's one of those cases that gets slid under the rug, and that patient may end up in dental limbo, and we might not see them for a while. So yes, right. Sometimes the system doesn't work as well as it's supposed to. That's when it's time to review the system.
There you go. Yeah, always put your emphasis on the system, not blaming people. And I think that's a really important thing is, you know, Nito Cobain used to say that to me. He said, Kirk, whatever your team members don't do what you ask, I want you to apologize to them. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, there's an error in the system somehow, some way. You either didn't describe it clearly enough, you don't have a way for them to succeed, or they just aren't the right person. But let's start with the first two, you know, and I've always thought about him in those processes as far as how that works. And then do you have a lot of things like this in your office? I'm sure this isn't the only checklist you have in your office.
No, we have a whole book of our, you know, but we have a whole book of all our systems. It's about this thick of all the systems we have them, and we printed them out and put them in a manual. Right. We have systems, I even like by my back door where the alarm is. The system say, is the radio off? Are the windows closed? Are the pumps off? Just three simple little things, just really critical at night to make sure that those are done. But yeah, there's systems all over the place. They're made and they're taped up in the sterilization room by autoclave, by our lab doors, make sure it turned off the vacuum once they get done grinding in the lab. And, you know, and just, yeah, we use them a lot. And like somebody, you have mentioned to us many times, the systems run the business and people run the systems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great way. Remember, you've got people in your, I've learned this the hard way. Your team members don't always know what you're thinking. And don't expect them to, you know what I mean? But if we all agree in, a sacred document, like a checklist, say, hey, listen, let's agree that all these steps, and they're part of the collaboration process, they can add their details. You can always go back to the system. You know, it's not you versus them. It's the two of us grounded in a common system that we believe in. It's a much healthier way to approach working with people, I think. So yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And one of the biggest benefits of using the system, if you're using the system, you're going to be much more efficient, effective, and productive, and less stressed out and happier.
I totally agree. So I love this, man. Any last thoughts you have on systems development or checklists? What would you say to these younger dentists getting started, which we all love them? Any pieces of advice on systems or checklists?
I think, kind of mentioned at the end there, if you get yourself in the habit of using systems and, more important, using checklists, you're going to be so much more efficient, effective, productive, happy, and find yourself, a lot less stressed out.
Yeah, I love it, buddy. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me. I know you're a busy guy. You got a lot of interests, and we're always curious where Aaron Rodgers is going to end up. So, I know you're right
Denver.
Down the street. What? Are you sure?
Denver.
Come on. You're making the announcement today? Do you think it's going to happen?
That's my prediction.
That's your prediction.
You can't say why.
You can't say why.
Yeah.
Why can't you say why? Because you're.
Well, I'm thinking Nathaniel Hackett just went to Denver to be their head coach.
Yeah.
And he was the offensive coordinator for the Packers. And he and Aaron Rodgers, I believe, got along pretty well together.
Yeah.
So that's why he may take Davante Adams with him also to Denver. But Packers would get a lot of draft picks.
You're supposed to be bringing me good news, Marty.
They're still going to be good. Build that good defense.
You
can get by with an average quarterback if you have a really good defense and maybe a good special teams.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even go there. That's a rough subject. That's a rough subject.
Yeah.
Hey, can you do me a favor and get Aaron Rodgers or Matt LaFleur on our podcast? I mean, you know everybody up there, right? No?
Yeah. not that good enough to know them, but I'll keep trying.
Darn it. You don't get what you don't ask for. So I thought I would just ask. But
right. Yeah.
Marty,
yeah.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much for joining us today, brother. I really appreciate you. And I can't wait until we're all back together again, hanging out at the symposium. But awesome, buddy. Well, stick around while I say goodbye to everybody else. Any last things you want to add or no?
No, I truly enjoyed this. This was my first podcast I've ever done. And you made it very, very comfortable. And I truly enjoyed myself, and hopefully we can do it again.
Hey, I promise you it was going to be easy. Like it would just be like you and I having a beer at the bar, but we're just doing it on kind of like a Zoom-like thing. So I don't know. Yeah. I love this stuff. It's just two guys hanging out talking about something that matters. But cool. Yeah. Well, stick around for just a second while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. I hope you enjoyed it. It's good stuff. What Marty's sharing is one of the secrets to being happy in dentistry. You get to decide, too. That's what's so cool. You don't have to copy Marty's checklist. You get to design your own. That, you know this. A great deal of your happiness as a dentist is tied to how predictable things get over time. And one of the pieces to do that is with a checklist. So I hope you enjoyed that. You're going to see in the show notes, we put a link to Marty's checklist in there. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to Marty or us. We're always here to help you. And keep remembering, guys, every time you create a little bit better practice, your life gets better. This is an awesome profession. So keep showing up. Keep asking us questions. Keep sending us for suggestions of things you guys want to see, and we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, have a great day and keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys take care. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.